car was probably a lot like many of yours. One of those vehicles that the dashboard looked a little bit more like a Christmas tree. All the lights were permanently stuck on. And when I was driving it, you kind of went by the odometer and just the time of year for when you changed the oil. So we would usually change the oil usually when we left for school or left for college, and we'd usually put a little bit of oil in around like Thanksgiving break, and then when we came back just before we left again in January, we'd put more oil in, and about spring break and do it again, and that was kind of how we knew when it was time to change our oil. The vehicle that Carolyn and I got a few months back is a little bit newer than the one that I grew up driving. And every time that I would turn it on, this light would pop on. And I thought, you know, well, it says it. Does it really mean it? And so I continued driving, and it was this little light that was saying that it was time for an oil change. And I thought, nah, we're good for a few more miles. We just got this a little while back. They did an oil change when we got it. And time and time again, it would turn on the vehicle and the light would pop on. Have you ever been told something over and over and over again? There's usually a reason for it. A couple weeks ago when I checked the dipstick, I realized it was time for an oil change. And so that's what I spent this weekend doing. But you know, when you're told something over and over and over, there comes a point when you start to believe it. And really, for you to remember something, science says, as much as you want to go with that, I usually try to not go with it. But according to science, you have to say something out loud 3 times to even remember it. Did you know that you have to say something out loud 3 times to even remember it? When I was preparing for this sermon, I had to say it out loud 3 times before I actually remembered it. Being told something over and over and over. We see in the story of Joshua that he's told something over and over and over. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me, if you will, to Joshua, the first chapter. And we see this reminder coming up to Joshua time and time again. Before he assumes that he even needs it, before he even assumes that it's relevant to him, that it actually means anything to him, he gets this message repeated to him over and over and over. And so in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." God is speaking to Joshua and to Moses at this time. Be strong and very courageous. To be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. 3 times in these 4 verses. Has to say it out loud 3 times in 4 verses. Joshua is reminded to be strong and courageous. Now, one thing that we see throughout Scripture is that God does not waste words. When God speaks and what God speaks are words that are needed. And for Joshua, we can see through his past and we can see in what will come in his future that these are words that are needed for every day. That these are words that are going to be needed from him time and time again, that he's going to have to draw back to for his very survival. To be the man God had called him to be. The man that God would change him to be very shortly. God would remind him, be strong and courageous. This isn't the first time that we see Joshua throughout the Bible. He has a book that's attributed to him, a book that bears his name, but long before this, we see this character of Joshua. Joshua, son of Nun. All the youth group jokes about that. Joshua, from the very beginning, we can see has been cut from a different cloth. When it comes to those that ventured out into the wilderness with Moses, he was one of the few that was blessed to see where God brought them from and blessed to then be able to see where God would bring them. Joshua got to go from all the way from out of Egypt into the promised land. He was blessed. He was blessed to do this because of a time in his past where he displayed the very calling that God gave him. A time where he had to take this first step towards leadership that God would direct him in and change him into. It's a story that we see in Numbers chapter 13 and a charge for Joshua that he would have to be courageous. A young Joshua takes the scene in a somewhat familiar story of Moses sending out 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, to explore this new land, this land that God had promised them. And they go out. They go out, and from the old Sunday school song, sing it with me if you know it. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, but 2 were good. You guys know that one? You have to do the actions with me. Okay, get your hands up. Get them ready. Okay, 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, but 2 were good. You got it? Okay, now you got to sing it with. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, but 2 were good. There, now you guys are catching it. Okay, 3 times for memory, right? Okay, 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, but 2 were good. Alrighty, there we go. Now we're getting it. So we see these 12 men that went to spy on Canaan, and for some reason we get this message that 10 were bad and 2 were good. Why were 10 bad and 2 were good? Well, we see that these men come back. They come back, and what did they see when they spied on Canaan? They gave this report starting in verse 27 of Numbers chapter 13. It says they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. Only 2 were good. Here's where the twist comes. But the people who live there are powerful. Their cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then something pops up here. It says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw were those of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." 10. 10 came back with this report that said, "We can't do it. We're too small. We're too weak. We're too few. We don't measure up." 2 came back with a report that said, "We see the splendor of this land that God has promised us. We may not be able to do it, but God can." They came back with this report. And we see Joshua had this strength to go, this strength to be part of the search committee, part of those that went out and explored the land. We see Joshua had this courage to go. We saw that he had this strength to have faith in God, to come back with this report that says, "Hey, let's go into this land. It's flowing with milk and honey like God said." But only one speaks up. 2 came back with the report. But we start to see where in the future God is going to call Joshua to be strong and courageous. To not just go into the land, to not just come back knowing that they can do it, but to lead. And in this instance, Caleb is the one that speaks up. And the interesting part here is Caleb seems to be kind of on this mountaintop alone with Moses, where he says, "Hey, we can do this. We can do this with God on our side. We can take this land. It doesn't matter that they have giants. It doesn't matter that they have hills and valleys that we don't know how we're going to make this happen. But we can do it. God has promised us this land." And it isn't until later that we see that Joshua was kind of on the same page. But he wasn't willing to take on this fight. In this instance, Joshua was courageous in his convictions. But he was not strong to stand up when the report was made the other way. God calls Joshua to be strong and courageous. To move past these points of just seeing, but to really lead the people like he would have him lead. And sometimes the words that aren't spoken by a leader are more powerful than the words that are. And time again, as Joshua, now with this commission to be strong and courageous, would have to lean on the times where he had seen God at work in the past. He would lead his people, lead the Lord's people into battle. And his convictions that God was in control and that God was able had to be the foundation of Joshua's campaign. It had to be his focus in his leadership, that God can, and not only do I believe God can, but I'm going to tell you that God can. I'm going to lead you to this point to believe that God can. Joshua would find that time and time again, without the courage to follow God's commands and the strength to obey him, that victory simply was not possible. through the battles that he led, he saw that the best plan was God's plan. That the best way was God's way. But he would also see that following God's plan and finding God's way wouldn't always be the easiest way. God would show Joshua that he was with him. But it would be up to Joshua to lead his people in a way that said, whatever I can't see, I'm going to trust God to be my vision. Whatever giants come, I'm going to lead that God is bigger. Whatever mountains there are to climb, I'm going to trust God to move them. And time again, it would take Joshua deciding to be strong and courageous in his leadership. And I want to ask you today, where do you need to take God? Or where do you need God to take that kind of lead in your life? What are the battles in your day-to-day that you can't see how God's way would possibly be the best way? In what ways are you tempted to try and make your own way? Right now, are there walls standing in your way that you don't believe that God can knock down? Are there temptations that keep you from achieving what God would lead you to achieve? Have you put your trust in your own strength? Have you looked at the decisions in your life that you don't feel like God doesn't need to be involved in? Each of those situations, each of those circumstances, each of those scenarios Joshua went through in his life, and in his leadership. He went through times when he saw the walls of Jericho and he didn't know how walking around them seven times was possibly going to bring them down. He went through times in his life where he saw that because God's word wasn't obeyed, that when they marched into battle against this little puny city of Ai, that they would lose because they weren't following God's word. He would see in situations that he would think he could make every day, decisions that he could handle on his own every day. He would see how that would lead to forming up and teaming up with kings that he should had nothing to do with because he didn't involve God in the decisions of his every day. Joshua would have to learn and grow to be strong and courageous. God's message through it all, be strong and courageous. There were times when Joshua fell. There were times when Joshua let his lead slip. The book of Joshua runs us all through the victories, sprints right into the failures, but at the same time, the story of Joshua is a story of victory found in transformation that happens. And Joshua, from someone who simply follows the crowd, to a faithful, strong and courageous leader. One who's directed by God and his challenge. As we see Joshua grow in his strength, and as he grows in his courage, we come to the end of his leadership. The end of his leadership and the end of his life, when he stands before his people that were once nomadic people, that he's led into the promised land. And he gives a last charge. As you flip over, through seeing the times of victory, through the times of defeat, through times of God's great power, the accounts of kings defeated. We get to the end of the book of Joshua, down to the 23rd and the 24th chapters. When Joshua comes and he makes this last charge to his people, he goes back to two things. Reminding them about where they've been. Reminding them of what God is bringing them to. He expects them and charges them to do two things. To be strong and courageous. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 6 through 15, Joshua shows that strength looks like obedience and love for God. He says this, "Be very strong. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that's written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the left or the right. Do not associate with the nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you a great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he has promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you will be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become like snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord your God has ever failed. Every promise he has fulfilled, not one has failed. But just as the good things of the Lord, the God has promised you, have come to you, so will he bring on you all the evil things that he has threatened, until the Lord God has destroyed for you the good from this land, or from this good land he has given you." Joshua says the only strength that you will have, the only reason you're still in this land, the only reason that you have come into this land to begin with, is because strength means obedience and love of God. So he says, be strong. Have the strength to follow God wherever he leads. Have the strength to keep following God in every aspect of life. Notice, strength doesn't come here in the battles. He doesn't say, be strong. Take up your swords and your bows. Take up your shields. Build walls higher. Be strong. He says, be strong. Obey the laws of the Lord. Love the God that's gotten you here. Strength means obedience and love the Lord. It says, be strong and be courageous. Joshua runs down their history, and he runs them through his story. The way that God has provided time and time again, and how they had been unfaithful to God, but that God had remained faithful to them. And he says this, knowing that some of them will fall away. He exclaims this when he knows the crowd may be against him. When he's back in that situation where 10 may be bad and there's only 2 to stand. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors that they worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors you serve beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites and those in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, Joshua had learned what courage now was. Courage is the ability to commit to the Lord when all others fall away. When Joshua charges these people to be strong and courageous, he sets an example. He stands up with courage and says, "Choose for yourself who you'll serve. You make your decision, but I'm going to stand with the courage to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." So I hope that God works through the story of Joshua, through the constant reminders, challenge us to be strong and courageous, to have the strength to obey and to love God when we don't know the way, to have the courage that when all others might fall away, that we will commit to the Lord. Will that be your change this day? Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the story of Joshua, for a man that you used and transformed from someone who went along with the crowd to someone that you called and made strong and courageous. God, we pray in our lives that we will have the strength to obey you, to love you. God, we pray that you give us the courage that no matter what the crowd looks like, no matter what the crowd says, that we will have the courage to commit our lives to you. God, we say this today, through all the turmoil, through all the mess in life, that as for us, we will serve the Lord. God, thank you for your Son who provides a way to change, who gives us love, and who gave his life. Lord, allow us to give our lives back to you. And help us to accept the change that you're making in our lives. We love you. We thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You please stand.